The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they're funny, they're entertaining, they're interesting, and oh, by the way, you have permission to come aboard. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Probably much sooner than you think he is. The idea is not to look busy. The idea is to be busy. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we decide, ironically, that we want to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Wouldn't that be novel? We'll actually build our foundation on a rock instead of sand. What a good idea. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I couldn't give you that answer. I mean, it's paying the bills. It's this. It's that, right? I still could not give you an answer of why the Lord put me here, other than that's what he did, and so we go. Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. And to that end, after I do this intro, we do have somebody that's calling in already. To that end, I'm going to talk about something personal and just wonder if you guys can identify with it. We'll get to that in a second. But I want you to know that if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, if you've got something the Lord's working on in your life and you want to share it or you want to bounce it off other people because you want to make sure you're not losing your marbles, which is a nice thing, and also if you've got that Bible trivia answer, you just want to share some great things. We've got some praying we need to do because we've got people in our own body that are hurting and we need to take care of them and pray for them. All of that, you reach out to us. You call 972-445-0770. You call 972-445-0770. Terrific T answers the phone, and that'll be terrific. You can also text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org, which leads me to the website, which I want you to check out. It's a place to give, but that's not the primary reason to go to the website. Okay? That'd be great if you give. If you don't, that's fine too. But there is encouragement on the website. That's the best reason to go to the website. Go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. So that's the place to check that out. All right. In the meantime, Sergio's calling in. He's got a question. We want to give him that opportunity. So let's hang on as I move over. And I hit the button. This is David. Is this Sergio?
Yes, David. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you, sir?
Good. Good afternoon, David. Thank you for taking my call. I was just talking to Terrific T, and I have one question, but I'm just going to send you probably a plethora of questions at your website on your email address, if that's okay.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I can answer them, I will. And if I don't have the answers, I'll tell you so that you know.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Well, I'll be brief. So my question today is just the topic of discernment. Did you understand me?
Discernment is the most underused gift in all of the gift, all of the gifting in the church. It is the least talked about and the least used.
So that's my question. So does discernment come from the Spirit basically warning you to, like, drop that person, don't attend that party, like, you should veer this way, go that way? Or is it a combination of just common sense?
All right, so that's a great question. So let me try and answer it, because that one I can actually answer, which is amazing. So here's part of that process. There's a difference between discernment and direction. In direction, that the direction might be, you know, you're facing a situation and you need to have to know which way the Lord's leaning. There's a sense of wisdom. There's a sense where the Holy Spirit does counsel. Like you mentioned just there, there's a party you're thinking of going to, and there's this leading the Holy Spirit going, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. That's bad for you. Don't go that direction. That's more directional than discernment. Discernment actually has to do with the origin of what the Spirit, where the Spirit is from or where it's coming from. In other words, discernment has to do with where it originates. And so when you're talking to somebody, you're going to a church, you hear something, somebody gives you a message, and you in your brain, it goes ding, ding, ding. Wait, this doesn't seem right. There's something wrong. There's something wrong against what is the truth, or this doesn't seem like the right spirit, or this seems a little fleshly. That's going to be discernment versus turn left or right, which is much more going to be direction. But that gift of discernment is available for every Christian, and it does work through the Holy Spirit, through wisdom. I mean, it's all the same process, but its purpose is different. Its purpose is to determine the origin of the Spirit of what's going on.
And I guess you hit another finer point, because as we take this Christian journey, it's a process, right? Because you were more of a Christian today as you were a year ago or 5 years ago. Is that a correct statement?
It's correct in the sense that you reflect Jesus more than you did 5 years ago. You're not necessarily more of a Christian, because once God saved you, you're saved. In other words, you don't get less saved or more saved. But it is true that you draw in more to reflect Jesus. And the goal, the premise, is God positionally makes you just and righteous in his eyes. And then he works that into you so that you actually reflect that. That's what we call sanctification. In other words, you're saved, but you're also being saved presently, because God is making you reflect Jesus glory by glory, step by step, and victory by victory. And why that's important is because there's a security in your salvation, but the process you go through is also a security, because God just doesn't save you and then forget about you. He saves you and works on you, and that should give you a sense of security. Hey, God's working on me. I'm his. And so that gives you a sense of freedom and peace. Even if you're not doing everything perfect, at least the Lord's working on you, and you're working with him, and you're growing in him. You do reflect Jesus more, so in that capacity, you can say you're more of a Christian. But you're not saved anymore. You're simply saved when the Lord saves you through the redeeming work of Christ. But you demonstrate that salvation by pursuing him.
Got it. Well, last quick comment. One of the reasons why I know that God is working on me is because I found you on the radio station, and I'm an avid listener. And thank you so much, David.
It's my privilege to be a blessing to anybody. I'm telling you, it's one of the things that really does bless. It helps me. It encourages me. It kind of gives me a fire. So I appreciate that, Sergio, very much. And you can ask me any questions through the email anytime you want. I'll do my best to answer the best I can.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Excellent. See, that's kind of what the show's about right there. You know, so we have a Christian community where we engage with one another and talk to one another. And in fact, I want to make sure that we're praying for one another. And in that, I want you to know, Mary brought up a fantastic point on the air yesterday talking about John's granddaughter. He called in, granddaughter is going to be having some chemo. We should all be mentioning, just, it doesn't take long when you're spending time with the Lord, go, oh yeah, that whole radio audience people, or those whole people that listen to that Spoon Show, yeah, help John's granddaughter. We want to pray for Donna Gale, whose family has gone through a tragedy. Her son-in-law had a blood clot and passed away. That's a tragedy. If you are in that situation, you want people praying for you. You want the Holy Spirit comforting everybody involved. You want God the Father to come down and you know, just put his arms around you, so to speak. And that's what we want for her. For Ace, who needs some physical healing and some touch and some strength and needs some help internally and externally. For Cordelia, and as well as for Joyanne, who've got a situation. They're trying to have this situation resolved. It's not okay to share that situation, but it's just been an annoying situation, and we just want it to come to an end and so they can have freedom and forget what's behind and move forward to what's ahead. You know, you got Aunt Deb. She's a giver. She's a participator. She has her trials. Everybody has their trials. Everybody has that. And you don't have to know every single one. And this is a big part of the Christian community. I'm excited tonight. I'm going to be talking to Dr. Ryan, who's helping me finish off on the doctorate. The idea in Christian community is to, as best you can, put your arms out, walk towards the Lord, and let your arms bring or touch as many people as you can as you're walking towards the Lord, and help them turn and walk towards the Lord. So if, imagine yourself in a crowd, and in the crowd you see, let's say Jesus is on the stage, okay? And then you're walking towards Jesus because you want to draw closer to Jesus. But the big part of Christianity is to stick your arms out and bring people with you while you're doing that. That is the fulfillment of what God desires us to do. That's the big part about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That's about caring about others and not just thinking about yourself. And we have all these people that have all these needs on this show, and I do find it a little amazing when people say, well, I don't have much to pray about. You could just enumerate any person you've heard of that you know is going through a struggle and pray for them. And if you end up praying for all the people that you know are struggling, you'll be amazed how your prayer goes from 3 minutes to 20 minutes. Because it's amazing how many people go through it. All right, we'll take our break. Then we'll come back. I got so much to cover. We might not even hit our setup teachings. We'll see what happens. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. There is, I put something new up there, and now I can't even remember what it is. I don't know. You've been getting older. I don't know. All I know is I worked out today, and I was telling T, it was terrible. You know, you work out, and then you come back, and you're supposed to feel good or whatever. That didn't happen.
Just so you can know. I think the people in the gym were worried that I was going to keel over. It's like, uh-oh, what's wrong with that guy?
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Some of you guys are like going, what's that whole Sally and the seashell thing? Well, you know, I lived in California for 20 years. So to find seashells meant, okay, drive 1 mile that way. It's just like, that's why that came up. I understand for, you know, where we're at now, but I'm just saying back then, that's kind of funny. All right, never mind. Here's our first trivia question, because I probably need to do this more than anything else. Now, this is according, I'm going to tell you where it is. It's in Matthew 27, so you might need to look this up. But this is according to Matthew 27. There was a very rich man who was a disciple of Jesus. What was his name? There was a very rich man who was a disciple of Jesus. What was his name? Now, we're using Matthew 27 as the basis of this. And let me just give you a quick encouragement. It is towards the end of the chapter. He has a name and then a little title behind it. Well, not a title. That's wrong. He has his location behind his name. That's what I was trying to, you know, his name. Okay, so I'll just tell you. You got to look in Matthew chapter 27. There you go. I'm just helping people along. That's what I do. If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. And again, on the website, there's a fill-out form, just so you know, in case you're like, well, I don't like sending emails. Like, that's totally cool. Not a problem. But you can do a fill-out form. Nobody gets to see it. It doesn't go anywhere. Nobody has a chance to review it. It is 100% confidential. We don't share that. And if you say, hey, I want to keep this confidential, it's confidential. And if you want to ask a question, you ask a question. And if you want to know something else, you do something else. Get it? Okay. All right. All right, we have somebody who I think is going to answer the trivia question, so I'm going to lean over real quick. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Oh, this is a toughie, huh? So I'm glad you called in, because you're one of our more sure, okay, I get this right, even though you always go, I guess it, but you guess about 99.9% correct, so that's pretty good.
Not yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday had a moment, huh? All right. Who was a very, very wealthy, rich man who was also a follower of Jesus, according to Matthew 27?
Is it Joseph of Arimathea?
Yes! Correctamundo!
Yeah, I can't believe I remembered.
That's a great job. And one of the things that some people don't like, I think it's one of a wonderful text, but there's a portion talking about Joseph of Arimathea that says that he was a secret disciple of Jesus. And people get really upset about, you know, well, you can't be a secret disciple. It's like, okay, but it is right here in the book. You know, it's like, it's right there,
yeah,
right?
No doubt.
And then so some people are placed in certain positions in certain ways for certain purposes that nobody understands, but God understands. And it's just like,
No doubt, right on.
You follow your calling, you'll do just fine. Excellent job. Excellent, excellent,
right.
Excellent. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. You and T have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right. So I'm going to share this thing. I'm going to forego the teaching I was going to do, and I'm going to share this thing. This is going to get real personal, okay? And that what that means is you're going to hear fault for coming from me, okay? I'm not one of those okay, first of all, I'll give you a little background. Most people say, well, Dave, are you a preacher or are you a teacher? And the reason that people will ask that question is because a preacher is more a person, more identified, not that it's biblical, but more identified as a person who proclaims the gospel, and a teacher is one who more instructs. Okay? So when I was younger, I asked the Lord, I was trying to, you know, figure out what the Lord wanted me to be or do. And I asked him. I think you can ask God questions like that, and sometimes he answers and sometimes he doesn't. But when he answers, you got to kind of know what's going on, and you got to be able to listen. And don't pray and then don't expect God to answer. Why would you do that? That's what the disciples did in Acts chapter 12. It's a kind of a dumb thing. So I said, Lord, you know, I know I'm called. I can feel inside me there's this fire that's burning. And inside me, it's like a hammer hitting on the rocks. And there's a little bit of Jeremiah references for you. And I said, but I don't know if I'm supposed to be a preacher or a teacher. And you know what the Lord said to me? And yes, I said, the Lord said it. So everybody take a deep breath. He said your name when you got saved, so relax. Maybe not out loud, but he said to me, in between. And I thought, what? Okay, now watch this. I'm going to do this right in front of me, okay? So P-Q-R-S-T, okay? P for preacher, right? That's the P. Q-R-S-T, T for teacher. Got it. So the silly thing that I thought I heard, which I thought was ridiculous, and I didn't even really think it was God at first, was, you know, you're in between. You're in between. Well, what's in between a preacher and a teacher? What's in between P and T? And R. And the Lord showed me, you're a reacher. You're not a preacher or a teacher. You're just a reacher. In other words, the idea behind that is I do a little bit of both. I'm in between it. I do some preaching. I do some teaching. But the goal is for me to be reaching. And so those silly little things that God shares like that, that has been with me for 40 years. And it's like, well, I don't do things the normal way. I was talking to Noel last night as we were going to bed. We were praying because I'm having this meeting at 7:00 today with this Dr. Ryan, which I'm excited, a little nervous about, but excited about. And I said, you know, I said, everything God has done in my life has been so different. It's not. There's no track that you could follow. So I'm born and raised Jewish. I get involved in drugs. I hear the gospel for the first time. I say yes, but I don't do anything. I just say, okay, that sounds great. I'd certainly rather have that in my life than not. Then the Lord speaks to me, challenges me to separate myself from what I was. I follow that process. And then within a year or so, I'm in some form of ministry. I feel that fire inside of me. And I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm trying to communicate the process I'm going through and make sure that you folks know that this is – we all go through these different elements, these different phases in this whole Christian journey. And then I get involved in ministry. Now, wait, just wait. Then I'm preaching – right? Preaching in a little church. Then I'm preaching in bigger churches. Then I'm preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching in bigger churches and in more ministries and so on and so forth. Keep in mind the entire time, I don't have an education. Okay. I'm the guy that I didn't just drop out. I was kicked out of school. So you can know how this goes. The vice principal sat in the little room with my mom and me, and he looked at her and said, "He will never graduate." That's what he said. I'm not kidding. My mom just put her head in her hand, and it was just, you know, it was pretty bad. I was kind of a bad kid. You know, it was bad enough when we would go into court when I'd do something wrong, and the judge would go, "Mrs. That's the same thing I was telling T about something that happened to me," but he would go, "Mrs. Spoon," you know, because she was in there often enough. Anyway, so I go through this whole process. I get involved in ministry. I'm having a blast. I'm doing great. I make some mistakes. I'm not doing this perfect by any means. I hurt some people. I pulled out of ministry because I never wanted to hurt people. It was never my intent. But, you know, when you're young and you're just firing off everything you think, you're doing the best you can. And then God tells me to get my education. Now, is that... that's so different. It's like you're supposed to get your education and go into ministry. It's not how it happened. And because of that, I doubt myself and I question myself. And one of the things I want to bring up with you that I go through that I'm going to confess to you is I go through WCS syndrome. And I know you, some of you guys go through this, because I go through this, and most everything I go through, I have found out that other Christians go through too. What's WCS syndrome? Worst case scenario syndrome. You're dealing with something, you're trying to cover the angles, you're trying to be a little bit, not controlling, but you're trying to know what's taking place. And almost immediately, I default to, what's the worst case scenario, and then how do I deal with it from that point? Instead of expecting the best, believing the best, and trusting for the best, I default the other direction. I have to fight it, and my wife is very helpful in helping me remember not to do that. But it is happening. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about you too, that we will default to this worst case, you know, kind of mentality. And the problem is we can't live our Christian walk with Jesus, drawing closer to Jesus, always thinking, here comes the WCS, here comes the worst case scenario. We have to have this expectation in the Lord that it's not always WCS, that there are times that it's going to be the best case scenario. That's exactly what God wants to happen. It's going to be a blessing, and it's going to turn out that way. And it's not as though we don't ever think that, but if we are set to default, like when we set our Word document and it defaults to a certain font and to a certain size, if we're set to default for WCS, we immediately go back to that worst case scenario and then build up from there. And that, by the way, requires more faith because we're coming out of a hole trying to pull it together. And that's wrong. That's not what Jesus taught us to do. It's not how he wants us to live. I go through that. I don't do that on every single item, but I do it enough where it restricts my walk. And for all the stuff that I've been through in over 43 years of being a Christian, all the stuff that I've seen that's come and gone and so on and so forth, I should be doing much better. And I expect myself to do better. And I believe God expects me at least to trust him more. If you can relate to that, you don't have to raise your hand. Just say, amen, help me, Lord, and let him help. Because that's what I'm asking for. And I know that's the prayer that works, okay? All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, she turned me into a newt. A newt. We got better.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.